Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
Our children being ritualistically sodomized by deep state operatives of reptilian descent.
Reptilian? You mean like lizard people?
That's right.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talking about it for years.
If you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me!
Welcome, Catalyst Jones. How are you, brother?
Dude, you must have been down the rabbit hole as long as I have.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this.
Eventually, you get to the juice box people.
It's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file.
We choose to go to the moon. Well,
that was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
Excuse me. Has anybody seen, White Rabbit?
And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones. Excited to get into this one, man. I got somebody that I've been following for a long time. I first met him. On a round table way back in the day, and I was just like, bro, your name is fucking brilliant. Gray Pilled is like the best name, especially coming out of the era that we were coming out of when I had met this guy. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, my man Jules, what the fuck is up, brother?
Catalyst. Yeah, dude, first off, banger intro. Had me jamming. That definitely makes you feel some type of way. Thank you for having me on your show, man. It's been a long time coming. We've been on these, you know, shows here and there with each other and been telling each other, man, we have to get each other on. We have to, we gotta do a swap cast or something. But, you know, you always can talk about it, but then you just got to make the shit happen. So again, thank you for having me on today. And I was very surprised you booked with me yesterday, I think. And I was like, oh shit, dude, Catalyst booked with me. I had to reschedule my Patreon show, which is fine. They get that every week anyway. They can get it later tonight. Yes, they can. Dropped everything and then ran right over because, love to sit down with you and hang out. We always have a good conversation and going a little deeper than we originally intended.
I got a list of people that I intend to get on the show, and I really have been slacking on my pimping. Like, I was pushing really, really fucking hard there when I initially got sober again. And I don't know what happened last month. I last minute booking people, and this month is coming up, you know, we're coming into December, and I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to have December all the way booked out before we even hit it. And I booked everybody like all yesterday, bro. So like, you just happened to be one of the first, you were the first on the list to get on here. So
good.
Here we go, man. And I got to tell you, man, I was really impressed with you, with your presentation a while back on Tinfoil Hat. And I was hoping that we could get into the same subject and maybe branch off a little bit. I don't want to give the same exact show that we did over there on Sam's show, but I love the topic and I love talking about that. And with my Bible studies recently into books that aren't in the canon, it's something that I'm very interested in. You know, I recently had Ryan Gable on who was talking about like the origins of Halloween and the Druids and their teachings and shit like that. And it's just like so much more fascinating than the bullshit that we're giving to this cut and dry narrative that is taught to us, you know, not just in our schools, but in the churches as well.
Oh, dude, you had to bring up the Druids. This is something that I've actually been diving deep into lately. The Arthurian cycle of the Grail Kings and the Orders of the Quest, the Bards, the Druids, because you actually do find a lot of the mysticism from those ancient groups in modern day religion, and people don't even know it. So
Absolutely, brother. So where do we pick up on this? Like, where would you like to like jump off?
Well, I guess I'll talk about where I started off in my show with Graypilled. And dude, I mean, if you think that Tinfoil Hat episode was a banger, wait till this Paranoid American episode drops next week on the Paranoid American podcast. It's fucking it.
In well, my we're gonna opinion, make this one better than that. All right.
Huh? Well, we're oh yeah, no, we can try to talk. Yeah, that. Dude, definitely, no. definitely. But yeah, so y'all stay tuned for that. But you know, I
we got Q-Berto in the house, Q in the house tonight, and I just so or this Q. morning, I should say, but last night he won, or Friday night he won the Red Pill Threads raffle giveaway. And that's pretty fucking awesome. So if you guys want to tune in every Friday night, we're going to be raffling off a t-shirt from Red Pill Threads. T-shirts from Red Pill Threads.
Okay. Is that
the you got site these guys that right
your
here.
Merch is on? Let's see, I got to get me some of that, dude.
Yeah, Red my merch Pill is thread. On there. Yeah, redpillthreads.com. If you guys want to scroll down, I got the links down there for okay. you. Also, if you want to give Jules a follow, I have all of his links right down there. If you guys want to go ahead and scroll down, I got his social media accounts where you can watch his shows all right there. One click away for you guys. Go ahead and give him a follow. All right, brother. Sorry for the interruption. Just had to plug away dude, a little bit right there.
Interrupt whenever. Cause I look, I know how that I know how it is with the chat and you like to, you know, incorporate them in the show, especially with my audience, dude. They actually become a part of the show in a way. And we're about to start doing it. And on Graypilled, so that's going to be fun. They've all been bugging me to get a Google phone number to do that. But what's up, Rat? Good to see you, brother. Your mom's, but yeah. So basically, I was once an addict too, man. You know what I mean? And came out of my addiction. I had already been looking into the occult and the esoteric. And it kind of brought me into reading like the Book of Enoch for like before I had been like reading the Bible here and there, like scriptures and little passages, daily, daily mementos, you know what I'm talking about.
When, I feel like Enoch is almost like the gateway drug for truthers, like just getting into Christianity.
Well, yeah, dude. So, off the bat, I have a mystic view of Christianity, right? Like my wife grew up a Christian, this was not too new to her. And I, so with conspiracy and all this, like, so I had been researching conspiracies, the occult, the esoteric. So I get into the Book of Enoch, I get into, the Apocryphon, the Book of Jasher, the Book of the Giants, all this other stuff. And I start to notice that these fallen angels that they talk about, and this is at the same time that I'm kind of discovering the Anunnaki and the Sumerian mythologies, and I'm kind of like seeing similarities and stuff that, you know, symbolism here and there that relates to this certain deity that you see in another civilization, and in many cases it's probably the same deity. That's what I soon found out, especially the Semitic, that whole pantheon. I started seeing what's up?
No, you're good, brother. I was gonna ask you like what highlighted that for you, but it sounds like you're about to get into it without me having to ask.
Oh, no. Well, reading the, first off, reading Sitchin's stories and kind of understanding the setup of like this hierarchy of this family, this ancient bloodline from the planet Nibiru, right? Or the plane Nibiru, you know, the dimension. I think it's another dimension. And so, you know, you have this story of these beings that came from this place here. And then it's the same kind of thing in Enoch, right? They come down to Earth to mate with women. That's a very small part of the Sumerian story. Very small part. It has to do with one faction of the Anunnaki. I'd like to say one race of angels, basically. One class of angels. Marduk and someone they refer to as Semyaza or Samlazaz. Called the Ajiji, and these were the lesser Anunnaki. These were like, I guess you could like the fallen cherubim angels or something.
Were they not like as heavy of a bloodline, like bred out a little bit, like not maybe as pure of
they were younger in their generation, and they didn't come from the okay, so the more ancestral, the higher your like nobility was, which is where what we see in today's elite families, right? They interbreed with each other. That's where they get these proclivities from. And so, yeah, the Ajiji were just like lesser Anunnaki. Like, yeah, they weren't pure blood, basically. But it doesn't say that they were mixed with human. So maybe they were mixed with some other race of beings. I don't know. There is my co-host of Elohim Etymology, Adrian West. He says that there was a marriage with this divine council of the Orion queen, Maya, who was a reptilian queen, and Anu being from Sirius. And
okay, cool. Let me stop you right there, brother. Okay, I've always like been kind of wrestling with the idea of trying to grasp what exactly the beasts of the fields are in the Bible, because it's not described as animals or human. And so like, do you think that these could be what it's referring to? Because I feel like the beast of the field was these things, and maybe I could be wrong, but you know, I'm just now diving into the Book of Jasher. I think I'm halfway through it for the very first time. So my background on this isn't my own readings. It's really piggybacking off of what I've listened to other people say.
Well, so they were kind of put out there to be these worker Anunnaki, right? But they revolted, and their leader then became Marduk, and he's also referred to as Azazel in the Book of Enoch. Amar-Utu being the solar calf in Assyria, Namshub, Bel, actually, yeah, Bel. I was going to say Bel, Belzebul, but that's not him. Bel in the Bible, he's referred to as the storm god Bel. Also, Marutuk, Merodak. There's a lot of names for this guy. He is the Anunnaki adversary, right? And so this is the guy who first decided to marry a daughter of, you know, a daughter of man, right? And then the rest of these angels kind of followed. Now, it talks about how Enki, who is the father of Marduk, creates, he's known as Nudimud, which means the artful fashioner. And so he creates these beings with his sister Ninma and his son Ningazita, also referred to later as Thoth or Tehuti, later in Egypt. And they're in this lab. I don't know if it's in the sky or underground. I think it's inside the earth. They refers to a lot in these tablets. It refers to the Abzu, and the Abzu is underwater, but also inside the earth, I think.
Interesting. We got shout outs to Hollow Earth there and UFOs, whatever new term that they're giving it, coming out of the water.
Right, dude. Yeah. Yeah. And these were just like sky palaces, right? Like Ishtar had her sex palace that she had in the sky. Right.
This might be way off, and I hate to interrupt you right there in the middle of thought.
Please interrupt me.
So is CERN, in your opinion, is CERN trying to open these back up and let all these out? Because I feel like they could be still here manipulating, or not feel like they could be. I feel like they absolutely 100% are still here manipulating things, just not in a physical form. That's why they have these fucking puppets like Donald Trump and Netanyahu. Dude, and Gigi.
The fallen angels are manipulating, or whatever you want to call them, the archons. They're manipulating these people at the very top. But there are monsters and things of that we would only think of in our wildest nightmares that exist in these other realms that they talk about in these ancient stories. And I think, you know, could they be kind of showing us in these movies what they're trying to do? Did you ever see the Cloverfield Paradox? What was it? You remember the Cloverfield movies?
Yeah, and it was filmed like a POV type thing where a guy was running around with a camera, a girl or a guy was running around.
That's
with
the
a
first
camera.
One. So the second one, I think the second one may have been the Cloverfield Lane with John Goodman, where it's like after the whole incident and aliens come down. But the third one is called the Cloverfield Paradox, and it's before the first movie, before the monster comes out the sky. And this guy at the very beginning is on the mainstream media, and he's talking about this company that's up there, and they're smashing these molecules together in space, right? That's terrifying. You're out there in the like primordial void doing this shit. You're not here on Earth, right? I think they may be doing that right now. And so they eventually, hit it hard enough, and it shifts their dimension into where some of them are like trapped inside the ship. The ship is like through the, it's crazy how it is, dude. But, they release
this monster. So their matter gets manipulated and shit?
Yes. Yes. And they eventually release this monster that falls to Earth. But at the very beginning, this guy is on the mainstream media, and he's saying the stuff they're doing on that spacecraft, the monsters of mythologies and our, you know, and of nightmares, they do exist, and they will, you know, this will bring them into our realm of existence. Like, absolutely, dude. Like, that's, I 100% believe that.
So what is the percentage of the reality that we're perceiving, you know, like, because I've heard different numbers thrown around, like we can only perceive 10% of what's really going on around us with the senses that we have and shit. But like, how can we even measure that if we don't have other senses to even know what we should be sensing?
Right, dude. And then we're not even taught the occult sciences to measure these senses, right? To like, to measure our aura or our clairvoyancy. You feel me? To like, I don't know. It's kind of, yes. We're kind of shut off. And that's what religion does, as it controls, you know, I'm very spiritual with my relationship with Christ. They use religion to control and push this fear paradigm, right? Where you're supposed to fear everything, you know, fear the occult, fear this, fear that. Now, if you fear something, how can you even understand what it is? And if you don't understand what it is, then how can you fear it? You know, so like, I don't know. It's just, if you are aligned correctly, and you have and you stand strong in your faith, you should be able to dive into these things. You know what I mean? And I think a big part of keeping people kind of shut in this little box is this whole fear thing that they have going on that they kind of control, you know?
And they also shun people, right? It's like, don't look into that. Oh, that's not in the canon, so we can't.
If people look into esoteric knowledge, it's like they're doing incantations or something. It's like, you're crazy.
Well, see,
dude,
I believe that Jesus actually went through secret teachings and occults,
dude.
Ritual.
Then me and you are aligned on the same ideology, then, because, like I said, and I brought this up recently, you know, a big initiation in the Druidic mysteries was to spend 3 days in the tomb. You know? Hey, who else spent 3 days in the tomb?
There's a lot to it, too. You know, I don't
know.
Yeah,
dude. Well, that, too, the Druids being called the Druids also being called serpents at one time, or the initiates of a certain priesthood were called serpents. Christ saying, be wise as a serpent. You know, there's a lot of things in there. But then the Bible itself, dude, when you learn about these esoteric meanings and a lot of the symbolism, you go back and read it, you discover a whole different story. You know what I mean? You're reading something different than what the majority of the population's reading. So it's hard to like have conversations with these everyday people. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's hard to be like, hey, you know, do you believe it? Like, I don't know. They have to accept that mysticism exists in order to see it, right?
Hard for people, and you know, because you're cutting out, brother. But
you're cutting out for me
on the round table the other night.
You're cutting out for me.
Oh shit! Why don't we try to jump out and jump back in?
Here, I'll jump out. You want to jump out first, or you want me to jump out first?
Yeah, I'll jump out real quick. I got this.
Okay. Is he jumping out? Is he out? There he is. What's up, guys? White Rabbit Podcast, your boy Jules. So esoteric book review we're doing after the show. Veritas Roads coming on tonight at 7, guys. Be there or be queer. I don't care. A lot of you guys are gay anyway. So after that, we're doing esoteric book review. I don't know if Rat will be there. I don't know if Subliminal will be there. Subby, get back to me, BB. Nick will be there, though, I think, with me. So we'll be doing that. He's back. Is he back? He's back. Are you good? Fuck. Well, this is unfortunate. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving this week. Spent time with your family. Ate a lot. I got to keep the show going. Y'all be sure to go follow White Rabbit Podcast on Instagram. And you live in a simulated hollow flat realm that is run by demons and fallen angels and ancient half-breed reptilians. Michelle Obama is a man. Dinosaurs never existed. Nukes are a hoax. Space is fake and gay. How is there anything at all? Yo, Catalyst.
All right, there we go.
I'm just wondering. Yo, you should clip. I just read your whole bottom, like the ticker.
Oh, nice.
You should definitely clip that.
Did you get to the part where I was just wondering if anybody...
I didn't get to the follow the white rabbit. No, you. As soon as you got in here, it started. It got to the wake up Neo. Dude, I wonder if I still have an... do I still have an Organite promo code? I have to.
Man, I haven't talked to him in so long.
I haven't talked to Isaac in so long. Yeah, miss you, buddy. Miss you.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's been
guys,
a while.
Go check out Organite.com.
Definitely,
and
dude.
He's
awesome.
He's got some really cool shit. I don't have
he's
one
got
right
some
here
great
reach,
stuff,
but...
dude. He's got some great. I got to get back up with him, dude. He's a great guy. He's a family man. Love you, Isaac. But yeah, man, you were talking about the panel show the other night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is way better. I can hear you so much better. I don't know what the... StreamYard just sucks sometimes.
We should have went out and in earlier, but fuck it. Who cares?
All right. So, yeah, man, because he was going around the horn asking everybody if they are Christian or not, you know? And he didn't let me finish because he got, like, really mad. I love the guy to death. He's my co-host. Of course, I fucking love him.
Who is this?
Anthony Grafeo. He didn't let me finish because I talked about Jesus having to learn certain things, and he was like, "He's God," and I'm like, "Yeah, but he was here. He was here in human form. He had to go through the human experience. That means learning things.
If he was turning water into wine, he was practicing alchemy.
Yes,
this is natural. This is something we know. So, like, to just deny that is to deny it even happened, in my opinion." To deny the mysticism, if there is no mysticism in a religion.
His stance is he's all-knowing God, but my stance is he didn't enter this earth as all-knowing.
He started off in the Egyptian mystery schools, you know, as a child. He would go in and learn, and then he would, I think, give his he would talk. Have you ever read the Aquarian Gospel? And we're about to get weird here.
That this is a great comment right here by Jeff Anderson. Jesus could turn lead into Bitcoin. That's fucking awesome.
What's up, Jeff? It's good to see you. Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. Now, when I first started Gray Pilled, I was reading this a bunch. I brought it up to Juan, and he completely shut me down on it. Then he apologized. I told him it was fine. So it's a book that was basically channeled, right? But then,
what's this book?
The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ.
Okay.
It speaks of his travels to India, Greece, I think Gaul, Egypt, and basically learning all the mystery schools. Like learning from all these sages and these prophets from these different cultures. And when you read this, dude, it's like, I don't know, man. It makes sense. Like there's scripture from the Bible in here, but it's written differently. It's written a little more esoterically, a little more metaphysically, but it makes sense. It's definitely worth like reading through. I know it may be a bunch of bullshit. Somebody may have pulled it out their ass. But then again, what is a book, right?
Right. But
the Bible
is
a lot
is
of compelled just, stories from the past.
Is this just a bunch of new age shit, though?
I mean, you could say it is, but I don't know, dude. It's not really. To be honest with you, not really. It's more of just Jesus teaches the Magians. It's a lot but he goes through these initiations in the King's Chamber. And it's very reminiscent of like the Rosicrucian Freemasonic initiations that they go through, you know.
See, that just makes more sense to me that he would have to go through these things, because for the human experience to truly be a human experience, you would have to obtain these things through learning, not just have them like already into you. That would totally deplete the experience that you're supposed to have. And, you know, the first time I heard about this was when I had the guy that wrote the book Pillars of Wisdom on my show, and he was talking about how Jesus did, and he even had the name of the ritual, but the ritual of the lion's head, I think is what it was called, where you like bury a lion's head in the middle of the street, I forget what street, and in return you gain followers for eternity. And I was just like, blasphemy, dude, get the fuck off of my show. And you know, like I read the book and I'm like, you know, a lot of this does make sense. It makes a lot more sense to me. I don't know about this whole lion head ritual thing, but I want to backtrack this to what we originally started and why we got on Jesus is because I don't know if you want to consider him an entity or a deity or whatever it may be, but a lot of people will deny that he existed. A lot of people will deny his existence simply because there was other people born of a virgin birth on December 12th, like
Mithras,
all of these things,
Osiris, you know, all these,
right,
or Horus,
all of these things. But, you know, just because Tupac existed doesn't mean that there's not other rappers.
Right, right, right. Well, that's the story with the Buddha, right? And Krishna, Zoroaster, it talks about it with Osiris or Horus, you know, Dionysus. So, you know, but apparently, I mean, dude, you know, you have to really, and that's why I like looking into these other mystery schools, you know, and these other, thoughts, right? These other schools of thought. You know, I had Stein Fox on from the Greyhorn Pagans podcast to talk about the Norse pantheon and to talk about it from his point of view. You know what I mean? Not looking at it as fallen angels or anything, but looking at it as like attributes of man and, you know, the nine realms and the Vanir being the same as the rustic gods in Greece that I noticed. And then it's really like the Eddas are beautiful, man. You know, And I don't know. I don't think people should discount it just because of, you know, ancestry or whatever you don't agree with.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, too. And I think that the biggest problem with Christianity is, like I said, is shunning people for wanting to look further into these things. And
well, what the Christians didn't know before they killed the pagans is that the pagans already venerated the cross. They already venerated the cross. The Druids did. This was a part of their initiation. Yeah. So, and Manly P. Hall says this, he goes, you know, they would have found they had a lot more in common with the pagans if they had only talked to him before killing them.
Right. And that's that we got into that when I had Ryan Gable on, and he was saying it's ironic, you know, that they were shunning people for worshiping wood, you know, like worshiping a cross,
the oak tree
made out of
the oak tree.
And basically all the Christians did, because they would go into the woods and worship. And what the Christians did is they cut down those woods. They repurposed them, built a fucking house of worship. So you still go into the woods and worship a cross.
But the early churches, dude, they were fashioned after the body. If you believe it, they're not so much anymore. The early churches were fashioned after the anatomy of man.
I believe that's the way that it is still supposed to be, but it's been so misconceived.
Oh yeah.
And you know,
dude,
even my friends are like, you should start going to church. And I'm like, I do every time I have a podcast.
My wife talks about how she found God in the forest. When she was a kid, she didn't believe in God. Then she found him in the forest. And now she, you know, sees in the spirit and talks to Christ. And, you know, we're very spiritual people in this house. A lot of people don't agree with our view of, you know, or our relationship, you know, with the Holy Spirit, but that's on them. You know, that's their opinion and, you know, their perception, right? Perception is reality. So if you perceive all these things to be dicks and demons, they will be. If you perceive every single ghost to be some scary demonic force, it will manifest as that. So stop living in fear, guys.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you want to take this from? I want to get off of Jesus, get back to where
let's get back to the Anunnaki, dude.
Yeah.
So back to Enki, right? Ea, the god of the sea. And I'm finally waking up, guys. Sorry, it took me a second. When people ask me to explain the Anunnaki, I try to start off like, and I'm like, well, wait, where the fuck do I start? Because there's so much, dude. And then with Sitchin, the story is amazing. He puts it together, but it's like, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt, because it's like, did this guy translate it right? Did he interpret it right? What did he know about the mysteries? Did he know how to interpret these things differently? You know, you could ask the same thing with the people that wrote the Bible. Did they know how to interpret these parables and these esoteric themes you find throughout? I don't know if they did. Maybe they did. You know, King James was a Freemason. But anyway, I digress.
Well, that's debated by so many still to this day. I mean, that is one of the biggest arguments that people will have, you know.
Well, there is a King James Bible in every Freemasonic lodge, so...
I'm saying, did they get things wrong in the translations? And not only that, but sit back and think who was actually involved at the Council of Nicaea that decided what goes and what stays, and also what is hidden away in the vault at the Vatican that we'll never even lay our eyes on.
Yes. And who chose the name of God?
Oh, that's very interesting.
Did they not throw a bunch of names in a hat and literally draw one and say, this is it? This is Yahweh? I mean, they talk about it, right?
Well, that is interesting. And I know that Jehovah is actually the god of the moon, too. So, and that's also very interesting, I think, as well.
That's very interesting. You say that. You see, Jehovah talked about a lot in these the Rosicrucian mysteries and a lot of stuff that Hall writes. But you see Jehovah venerated with the process church. They venerate Lucifer, Satan, Jesus, and Jehovah. You know? So it's like, what is it about the name? Is it something with the name of Jesus, the Iesus, right? That whole thing? Is it the intention behind the prayer? I know we're getting on another tangent here.
No, but that's fine. I love the tangents.
Yeah. But you do see that a lot with Jehovah, dude. You do see that a lot. Now, my interpretation is... I have thought Jehovah to be the father of the moon god, El Enlil, The L is right there in the name.
If Jehovah is the God of everything, like Jehovah's Witnesses say, and many Christians will say that that's the true name. If that's the case, then he would be the God of the moon because he would be the God of everything.
Right. But then the God of the moon in these other cultures is also referred to as Sin, Nanar, Sin.
That's very interesting too.
Yes. Right. Where did that word sin come from? People want to say it comes from some, I believe it comes from this certain deity. This is the father of Utu Shamash and Ishtar in these ancient Mesopotamian mythologies. But dude, like, you know, Jehovah comes from Yahweh, right? Which is the Tetragrammaton.
Explain that to me, because I'm very curious. My parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, and it pisses me off so bad because
I wish I could explain it to you. What's up? I'm sorry, dude. There I go.
I said, explain it to me a little bit more because my parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, and it pisses me off so bad because we used to have the coolest fucking holidays, and I like spent maybe I don't know how many years trying to prove to them that they were fucking wrong. And I decided that it just wasn't worth it because I like lost a relationship with them over trying to prove they're wrong. So now I'm just like, fuck it. Let them believe what they want to believe. But, you know, I'm about to have this girl, Amber, come on the show who is a Jehovah's Witness, ex-Jehovah's Witness, kind of like how Heidi Love is with Mormons. This chick is with Jehovah's Witness, and she really, really dives into it. But I'm curious, man, do you know, like, this is what I was never able to figure out is like who and why went through and replaced the words and inserted Jehovah and like what was necessary about that?
Well, we first have to look at who started the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you know who started the Jehovah's Witnesses?
I know he was a Freemason, but the name is escaping me at the moment.
Charles Taze Russell. C.T. Russell. Now, this guy that was part of the Russell bloodline, one of the 13 Illuminati bloodlines. And he was a devout Satanist. I mean, when you look at his family, and that goes back into especially the women in these families seem to be a lot more sinister than the men. In some cases, is like the Collins family, they are at the top. And this is coming from like Fritz Springmeier lore of the Illuminati, right? So this could all be bullshit as well. We know this being conspiracy theorists. But dude, I mean, I think there's something with names when you say that the creator of the universe, you know, you give him a name, you know, what if it's not the creator of the universe? What does that do? You know, and you start worshiping a deity.
Interesting.
I call it the creator, right? Source. I don't like to give it a name. Yeah,
I say
yeah,
most high. High.
I mean, there's a sky daddy for every, you know, you have Sabazios, the Thracian sky daddy. You have Zeus, right? The Grecian sky daddy. You have Anu, the Sumerian sky daddy. That's the same figure that you kind of see in ancient times. You kind of see like Anu and Ahura Mazda from the Zoroastrian, from their religion. That's kind of the same figure. But I think further down, these titles get handed to his sons, Enlil and Enki, being the serpent and the eagle battles over the course of history. Enki being the sign of the serpent and Leo being the sign of the phoenix or the eagle. So you can kind of see who's venerated in each cultures by these signs that they use on our flags. If you go look at the flags, you'll see either eagles or serpents or eagles carrying serpents or, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, could all be bullshit, but hey, man, I mean, it's presenting itself right in front of us. You know, we see it playing out in the world. So it's like, do we believe our eyes or do we believe, something that's been told to us? You know, I don't know. That's
let's answer this question on the screen right here.
What's up?
Says, who is the current Sky Daddy?
It's a big question, Meaty. It's a big question from a big boy. Sorry, that was kind of gay.
Don't worry, love we're going to clip that and make it go viral.
Please.
Nobody else see it.
Me Cameron gets it. But I guess, I don't know, man. I mean, you'd have to say probably Adrian thinks it's Enlil Nainerta, being that we are under the eagle. And Nainerta also, you know, some people refer to him as Nimrod, Ningersu. But he, yeah, I mean, that's the thing when you see Ishkur and Nainerta also venerated with the symbol of the eagle. It's like, you know, these are sons of Enlil, who's, you know, the symbol of the eagle. Or, I mean, if you look into the Masonic mysteries, you'll see that the eagle has always, forever been the phoenix. Always. The phoenix representing rebirth, you know, death and rebirth. When the phoenix dies, it lives for, I think, 500 years, and then it basically bursts into flames, dies in its nest made of frankincense and myrrh and other things. It's interesting how the phoenix's nest is made of frankincense and myrrh, though. And then it is reborn out of its original form. But do you know what crawls out of its dying form that is eventually reborn? A worm.
Interesting.
A little bitty serpent worm out of the phoenix. Yeah, man. Fascinating stuff. We've been worm-pilled before on the show. We had Foundering on one time. Shout out Foundering.
What is worm-pill? Oh, that's the name of the show? Because that's a...
No, I was just saying. Foundering came on Already Dead one time, and I was producing for my boys over there. Shout out Austin and Jose. He came on and basically worm-pilled me and Jose on the whole, like, toxoplasmosis thing, or I don't know what it is. You know, the thing with the...
is that where the worms...
The worms in the butt of the cats, and how people in Egypt worship the cats because of the worms getting in...
Oh, like, I didn't know anything parasites. About that. Dude, I thought you were going to talk about the parasites that are controlled
by demons.
Hey, can we play a
worm edit real fast? I have
a
worm edit if you want to watch it. It'll teach you this in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I can share screen it.
Cool. Let me present it. But
while you're pulling that up, let me tell, what is this? Lucy Rose Up. I am definitely not Mark from My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. That fool is a Nephilim. He's like 8 foot tall. I'm only 5 foot eight. Our voices are totally different. And he is cool as fuck, though. I'll give him that.
Shout out Mark. We love Mark. And yet he is a Nephilim. So we confirmed that. Me and Nate confirmed that a long time ago. Let's see. Where is the...
Did you check to see if he has six fingers, though?
Did not check to see if he had six fingers.
That could make or break it. I don't know.
I mean, dude, the Giants in Gaul literally had one eye. So, you know, and wings.
Is that where Cyclops comes from?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Germanic pagans and the all the pagans from Albion and Gaul and Scandinavia, Denmark, they all, you know, they all venerated. I mean, the European pantheon of gods, man. After doing my Rustic God show with Headless Giant, I'm starting to see that they are a little different than the Semitic gods. But
hey,
I don't know.
Meet Cavern, if you want to scroll down, if you're on his, I don't know if all the links come up, but if you want to scroll down, I have something on there called Cell Saviors, and that will completely get rid of anything. Like, it's fucking amazing shit. It'll deworm you.
What's it called?
It's called Cell.
Ivermectin.
It's called Cell Saviors, and what it does is it takes out all of the bad shit, but it also like gives your body what it needs so that you're not just completely fucking drained. And yeah, like one of the top motherfucking doctors who a lot of UFC people go to teamed up with Pat Miletic, the UFC champ, Hall of Fame champion, and they got this shit, and they're a sponsor of the show, and they're curing cancer with this shit. It's fucking amazing.
Hell yeah, dude. Dude, I just went to Organite.com.
Is it not there anymore?
It's not there anymore.
Yeah. Damn, I wonder what he's doing.
He had, I guess he had to take it. He probably just had to handle business with his family. I need to reach out to him. I thought I had his number because he used to hang out with my buddy Oddfellows, man. Do you recall Cody?
No,
you don't remember Cody from Schizo? The guy, me, Nate, and the one other guy from Portland who was always like on LSD.
Possibly, but I was
schizophrenic. It's the reason we named it Schizo News Network at the time.
I was still drinking when I first started going on that show, so like I don't remember.
You came on for episode 12 or 13, man. I left at around episode 25 or 26, but you came on for one of the early ones, man. And yeah, Cody was still there. Haven't talked to him in over a year, man. I don't know if he's alive or dead.
Dude, I think Nephilim Death Squad was even on like one of the first ones I went on too. That was the first time.
Nephilim Death Squad didn't come on. They didn't come on Schizo, I don't think.
They were on something, and I was on something with them the first time I'd ever seen or heard anything about them, and I was just like, "That is the coolest fucking name. You guys are gonna blow up."
They came on my 1 year anniversary show. It was funny. Top actually came on twice or three times that night. He kept coming back because I had Foundering come on. I had Thomas come on. I had Brad Lell from the Awaken podcast. Jacob from Cult of Conspiracy. Chaney nice. Came on, dude. Toad from Tower Gang. Like I had Nate. Connie was there. Ass Butt. All the retards. Like it was a blast. Y'all get ready for round two this year, guys. Great Pill. Second year anniversary is going to be a banger.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Yeah, man, you're invited, dude. You're definitely invited. It's like an all day thing that I'll do. Last year was like an 8 hour stream. And people just pop in, hang out for an hour, shoot the shit, and, you know, dip out when they need to.
Oh, shit.
What? Yeah,
you're pull that shit up, Jamie.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of factors there, right?
See, the old wives' tales were like, you get demon-possessed by that cat, and really, it's a damn brainworm.
Well, that's probably also why they told you not to eat pork.
And that's science fiction. That's a real brainworm programming you, like you were saying earlier. I looked at it true. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Shout out, bro. Tim Tuttle. Free Tim okay. Tuttle, my boy.
Okay, because of that video, we got to jump into this ritual that fucking Trump did where he like supposedly let this rabbi enter his fucking body. And did you see that ritual? I played it on the show a while back, and Anthony Grafeo and I both believe that something entered his fucking body because his like health is depleting. And he is, I think everything is done as far as like him fulfilling what he needed to fulfill. Well, he's still going to fulfill some more shit, but I think that they're done with him. Oh shit. I'm starting to glitch again.
Yeah. You're starting to glitch a little bit. Amon Rat says, Enlil equals Yahweh equals Jehovah equals God of War. I mean, yeah. When you go back to the Canaanite Rat, we've talked about this. You go back to the Canaanite pantheon. Yahweh is the son of El, brother of Baal. You know, I mean, like, there's something there. You look at the Baal, Subliminal, one of my other co-hosts, talking about the Baal cycle. And, you know, Yahweh's in there just like, it's like this, these stories of these Anunnaki guys. you know? So it's just like, you know, at what point are we going to believe, or are we going to not believe what we're told? You know? Because anyone can edit a book and insert name here, right? Like you said.
Yeah, so like when we had the flood, all right, let's pick up there, because a lot of people are misled into thinking that everything was completely wiped out, and that's not the case, because these bloodlines are still going strong, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And in the Sumerian myths, it talks about how Cain actually escaped. He never died, so Cain's bloodline still lived on. It doesn't mention that in the Bible.
Right. My bad, brother. So where I was like kind of trying to make sure that I'm not glitching again. And yeah, dude, I wanted to
We're definitely getting hijacked right now. They're trying to shut it down, I think. But you're seeming I think you're good now. It just started I just kind of let you know in the private chat just to, for you to keep a lookout on it. In case you saw me glitching, that means I'm seeing you glitch. So
all right, cool. Well, hopefully everybody in the chat will let us know if it gets too bad. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. But all right, man. So where did we
wrap it up, dude? Let's not wrap it up. I'm having fun.
Where did we leave off at?
I think I was talking about, before we got asked who was the Sky Daddy, we were talking about Enki creating all these different Adam, right? He calls one Adamu. And they're too smart to be made slaves, to toil in the mines, to mine all this gold, the monoatomic gold, or the mana atomic gold, right? The mana.
Holy
from
shit,
heaven.
Bro. Wait, are you saying that this is Adam that we've learned about from the Garden of Adam and Eve?
What? Who?
This Adam that you just talked about. Are you saying it's the same
that
one?
That Enki created?
Yes.
Now, here's, it says, dude, he creates, before he gets to Adamu, he creates all these different beings, and they're all covered in hair. They can't speak. Some of them cannot hold tools. Holding tools was a big part of it. You had to be able to hold tools or you're out. All these creations that a lot of them were covered in hair, freakish things that Enki would just let out into the wild, basically. That's where I think we get all our cryptids from, or all these like fallen angel DNA tinkering operations.
I just heard something interesting on an episode of Tinfoil Hat where this guy was about dark matter and how he was kind of describing it as like the smoke that comes off of like a wick, you know, like the fire itself would be light matter, and the smoke and the excrement would be dark matter.
The fact that you're bringing this up, man. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, you're hitting on something here. One of the first symbols for the universal creator was the flame. This was taught in the Melchizedekian. I hope I said that right. Preschools, the mystery schools of the, I guess Zoroastrians. Sorry, I butchered that. I sometimes try to get it right. So King Cyrus, who the Jews were in, they were in Persia for, you know, I don't know how long, maybe hundreds of years. I don't know. Maybe somebody can clear that up. They basically adopted all these, or adapted all these things from Zoroastrianism, the main thing being the duality aspect of angels and demons. If it wasn't for Zoroastrianism and these, you know, this mystery school early on, then the priest, then the Hebrew priest would have never had this idea of angels and demons.
So right. Well, like the fire on the wick, you know, you have to have both in order for one to exist.
Yeah. So there's a book we read on my esoteric book review called Melchizedek and the Mystery of Fire. And it's fascinating, dude. It's fascinating. You should definitely try to look at it. It talks about basically Christianity as a mystery school. And that's how it at first, was. But, you know, this is coming from the thoughts of a Rosicrucian from Manly P. Hall. So people have to look at it. But, I mean, I don't know. When you look at a lot of stuff Hall talks about, he incorporates work from a lot of other esoteric authors and researchers and people in the field of occult sciences and whatnot. And so, you see stuff more places than one, it kind of all links up. You're like, hey, is there something here? And then they're trying to keep this knowledge from you, right? They don't want you learning about this. This is heresy. This is evil. But if you can actually use this knowledge to your advantage to enlighten yourself, because, you get this stuff in the hands of some of the wrong people and, you got your next Chaos Magi, right?
Right. The name of that book was Melchizedek and the Mystery of Fire.
Yes. It's a treatise by Manly P. Hall.
All right, cool. And I don't think that you should throw anything out that's written or quoted from Manly P. Hall, because
absolutely
he had knowledge that we're not privy to, and so anything that they're willing to leak to us, we should study with a fine tooth comb.
He was given the knowledge out, before he became an actual initiate in the lodge. He put out his stuff, and then the Masons saw him and were like, oh, this guy is gifted, this guy is one of us, and
I've heard that story before. That sounds exactly like Aleister Crowley.
Agent 666, baby. Yeah, there's a lot there, dude. Crowley did a lot in shaping the paradigm of the world we live in today. We are living in the shadow of Crowley. Shout out William Ramsey. He has that book.
I wanted to ask you about, brother, and yeah. I got it here in my notes, is Baphomet and the impact that has on our culture and society today. And are we necessarily looking at it correctly? Because the image itself tells a lot.
So there's a couple aspects to this. One, Baphomet was drawn up by Eliphas Levi. And it's not actually a depiction of any type of deity. It actually was drawn up to, it's occult art. It's esoteric art, basically. It's describing duality. It's describing the as above, so below, the male-female thing. And people think it's not a god. It's just the guy... Levy drew it to basically troll the public, being like, yeah, we worship this grotesque demon. Yeah. When really it's just all this esoteric knowledge hidden in this picture. But, and I think Nick may have told me that Heinrich Kunrath, he drew an earlier version of this Baphomet. So maybe it stemmed from this idea of a certain deity. But after years and years of this image being pushed on the mass consciousness, and people being in fear of it, fear being the strongest emotion, emotions being tied to the mental realm, being the highest realm, where we come in contact with angels and the divine. And so, fear being pushed of this image and people believing that this goat man exists, then people start actually seeing what they believe is a goat man. After a while, it turns into what you would call an egregore.
So we made this fucker exist.
You made this thing exist. You create these people, create their own demons, bro. Yeah.
Believe that. I believe that as well. But I also believe
people create their own hell. People can create their own hell for themselves.
Do you think that they can only have as much power as we allow them to, though? Also getting into the power of the mind. And one of the beginning shows that I had was this show with Brandon Thomas from Expanding Reality. And he talked about this thing called the Thought Ninja. And it was basically like the bouncer for your mind that is like letting in thoughts that you want to come in. Like, are you on the list? And pushing away the ones like, no, you're not on the list. You got to go. Right. And I thought that was such a fucking brilliant idea. And now that I'm in a recovery program, it's like one of the essential tools that we use is like learning what thoughts to allow to exist in your mind and take presence. And I think that we have the ability to tell these demons, you know, like, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. Like these thoughts,
you have power over them, dude.
Yeah. These thoughts aren't here. Like, this isn't how we do shit anymore. Like whatever your demon is, like this alcohol demon, this porn demon, this cocaine, whatever your thing is.
What if I was to tell you that you will always have a lower nature attached to you? And in the esoteric, this is referred to as our lower and higher aspects of our being, our soul, and this is represented in art and symbolism by composite creatures, right? Half man, half beast, these different aspects. Because when you get into animals completely, there's a whole realm of symbolism tied to these animals that we do not know, that the elite can see, right?
Is that a book that just references certain animals and shit? Like
occult symbolism of animals, insects, reptiles, fish, and birds.
I think it was Donut I was listening to, or maybe it was Isaac Weisot, but somebody was breaking down the Obama movie, and I forget what they said the meaning of the deer was in that movie. And it's like everything in that movie is coming true, obviously, because it was
probably Isaac.
Right. Do you remember what the symbolism is for deer by any chance? Is it in that book? Or because a friend of mine is having experiences with deer right now, but it is deer mating season also. So there's usually a easy explanation for these things, but at the same time is like the world is getting not getting ready for a shift, but it's shifting at the moment. And I think something really fucking big is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. This is right after it talks about the goat being used as both a phallic symbol and an emblem of courage or aspiration. So deer were sacred in the Bacchic mysteries of the Greeks. The Bacchanites were often clothed in fawn skins. Deer were associated with the worship of the moon goddess. And the Bacchic orgies were usually conducted at night. The grace and speed of this animal caused it to be accepted as the proper symbol of aesthetic abandon. Deer were objects of veneration with many nations. In Japan, herds of them are still maintained in connection with the temples. And that's about all it says on deer. I know if you go into the Odinic mysteries and the stories of the Norse pantheon and up there, and there's I think the deer all have names. Yeah. And they're all considered an incarnation of something, maybe a nature spirit, or because, you know, you have the elementals, right? But in certain cultures, you know, that these nature spirits have a whole pantheon in their own. I have a show with Headless Giant, shout out Headless, called Rustic Gods, where we go over the rustic gods of the Greek pantheon, the rustic being the more agriculture and arts and fertility, not war and storms and stuff like that, right? So you look into the elementals and you find out, yeah, dude, there's a whole different, it branches out to these groups of elementals. And I want people to know that the elementals aren't like demons. Like people think all these spirits are just demons, dude. And it's like, no, these actually were created by the creator. They're energies that he instilled to maintain, the four elements of earth, which hold it together. And they appear to you. How are you living? What are you vibrating on? Right. I know that sounds cliche and new age and gay, but whatever. Like, what frequency are you vibrating on? Are you in tune with the creator? Are you in tune with Christ? Are you eating healthy? Are you exercising? And you come into contact with one of these nature spirits, it may appear to you as some little fairy who comes and gives you a flower, or something that comes and tries to like pull your hair or something. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I don't know.
No, you're good. Yeah. When you said like they branch off into different things, it made me think these deities, as far as things that people worship now, would you say that these parasitic elites all worship the same thing, or and they're just pretending to fight on the main stage, or they're actually worshiping different deities and trying to take the main stage, but just have the main goal at hand, but fighting each other on their way to the top?
A little bit of both, being that all these different deities serve one main larger deity that has dominion over all of them. But they branch out into these groups to cause division. And it, so you're basically given power. I mean, you see this with the black cube in Mecca, right? Who else has a black cube that they use in their rituals to conjure up energy? Yes, there we go. So this is attributed to Saturn, or El, in Leo. And I haven't said this in a while. You know, in Leo, E-N-L-I-L, what's the first letter? And what's the last letter of that name? E-L. You have your L. Simple as that.
So what about like when we hear Hillary's emails were saying, you know, that she was going to be worshiping a chicken to Moloch in the backyard tonight?
She like, was going to, she was talking, okay, here we go. So this is along the lines of the Baphomet thing. Moloch, you don't find him in any pantheon. You don't really find him referred to as a deity at all. Moloch or Molk, MLK. What do we have? MLK Day. It's a type of sacrifice. It's a type of child sacrifice. So you can do a Molk sacrifice to at Bohemian Grove for example. They Minerva. They had a giant owl effigy, right? That wasn't Moloch. That was Minerva. They were doing a Molk sacrifice to Minerva for wisdom. Does that make sense? Esoteric Eddie kind of taught me this. Shout out, Eddie. Love you, brother. I always wear.
I want to give a shout out real quick, too. Shout out to James O'Keefe and shout out to Charlie Kirk for attending Bohemian Grove back in 2017. Let's fucking go, guys.
Oh, shit, dude. They really?
Oh, in 2023, I mean. Yeah, bro. I just had on. Justin Leslie, who was working for James O'Keefe, he was working at Pfizer undercover as a scientist at Pfizer, filming all kinds of shit under the microscope, and was getting pissed off because James wasn't like releasing any of his findings, and it could have saved a lot of people. And then so when O'Keefe Media Group started, he went with James so that he could like potentially get a hold of all of his footage that he had filmed, because James was keeping it from him. And then James went to went away for like a week and a half, and everybody was like, he went to Bohemian Grove. And so he went Project Veritas on his boss and recorded a phone conversation. And James is like, are you mad at me for going to Bohemian Grove? And like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like all recorded. And I had the guy on my show last month. And so like, shout out to James O'Keefe and who else? Oh, Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk were all in attendance.
Dude, you know what? I'm thinking now, Alex Jones didn't sneak into shit.
Not at
he
all,
He was
bro.
Fucking invited. He was yeah, there as a guest. In. We know, Alex Jones. We fucking see you. You're not fooling anybody anymore, dude. Hang
they
it
They wouldn't let you sneak in, film some shit, put it out to the public, and live
and
to
you
talk
still
about
be alive?
It.
Yeah, yeah. Likely fucking story. He's a fake just like the rest of them. And that's when you see like, wow, dude, we are really going to have to save ourselves. You know,
yeah,
like
even the people that
out
we
here don't give a shit about us.
Not at all, man. There's even people on our level that are here to infiltrate people like you and I, you know, and it sucks, but it is what it is. That's why we got to do
better
our
not
own
let
research
me catch you.
And like piggyback, you know, we got to piggyback off of what other people are coming across and search and whittle through all of this shit and find the truth and use your senses. You know, if somebody seems fake and gay, they're probably fake and gay.
Absolutely. Go with your gut, guys. That's literally like, I mean, look, and I tell people this, somebody said this, I don't remember. I guess this was the last show. This may have been yesterday. You know, we have our temples, right? That we communicate with God with. And this goes to our third eye. This is something else that you see in the Bible as well. Hey, what's going on? I guess he was glitching again. I lost it.
I don't know. Fuck, bro. I'm back.
Dude, hey.
It just
this is expected with me. I'm very shadow banned. That just shows you have a very organic following, though. So, I mean, that shows you I don't really buy followers. But, yeah, dude, like, this happens with me a lot. People will, they're, I remember Doc Brown came on 2 weeks ago, and, I mean, it my mic disconnect completely, and it was plugged in and everything, and it's a pretty nice mic, almost $1,000 mic. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's, could call it spiritual warfare, or they trying to shut us down? I don't know.
Well, we're going to keep fighting. You know, I'm shadow banned all the hell too, and I've never paid for a follower one time in my life. And yeah. I'm pretty proud of the fact that yesterday I hit 20,000 followers on my Instagram because hell the first yeah, one, dude. Yeah, the first one that got taken down, this one I worked really fucking hard not to get taken down and gain my followers back, and I'm fucking stronger than ever, even though I'm shadow banned.
There you go, man. Well, that, I mean, dude, you put the work in and eventually, you know, you get something out of it. I mean, I'm still at like 1,300 followers on fucking Twitter. I don't even have 1,000 on Rumble or YouTube, and I've been almost 2 years strong. I've lost a lot of followers with my rhetoric, but I'm just speaking truth, man. I'm just relaying what I've been researching and what makes sense to me. And a lot of people don't like it. You know, I've been losing more and more Christian audience lately.
Really? Why?
It's weird because my relationship with Christ hasn't changed. So kind of very telling where a lot of people actually are in their spirituality.
Well, there's a lot of people that think it's cut and dry and you have to believe a certain way. It's either black or white and there is no gray. And, you know, with your show being called Gray Pilled, obviously you see gray areas.
Well, when you talked about coming out of COVID, I mean, that's how I was feeling, was just gray pilled, you know, but dude, like, I don't know, man. I just think, you know, a religion without mystery is a religion without God. Because what is God than a mystery?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Dude, this is just, look, guys, I've been on like a little quote rant the past week, putting little quotes out on Twitter that have been coming to my mind. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I can trademark a couple of them, put them on a shirt or something. I don't know. Is that gay? Maybe. I got to get some shirts out there, Catalyst. I'm lagging behind in the merch department.
Dude, I used to follow this guy on Instagram called Take Naps, and he would sit there and design shirts while he was live on Instagram and sell hundreds of them. I'm like, fuck,
I thought
dude,
you were
going to
say
wrong?
He would sit there and take naps.
That would be hilarious. No,
that would be awesome. Oh, man. Dude, no, I don't know, man. Like, I printed stickers, but not even to sell, just to give to my patrons because they've supported me now for over a year, and I love all of them. And they continue to support me, you know. But I'm trying to print some newer stickers. Subliminal sent me a new place to get them where I can get better quality. So we'll print a couple of the older ones, and I'll get those out to the patrons. But as far as like shirts and stuff, man, I don't know. Still working on it. Still trying to get my brand up and Like, dude, it's hard when you're, and I'm sure you know this, you know, it's hard. Well, you've had a co-host here and there, and I think you have one, don't you?
I have a co-host on my roundtables, but okay. White Rabbit is just me solo. And I learned that that's the best way to do my show because it's just the best way to do my show.
But starting out, you know, solo, just you doing everything, you know, and I have like a, you know, I have a full-time job and two kids and, you know, one's 12 and one's 3. So it's like two very important ages. And I got a lot going on.
You got to hook up with some sponsors, bro. Like, I was doing all the shirts myself. And like, as you know, it's hard enough to book guests, edit your shows, make promos, edit your promos, all of this shit that goes beyond in the scenes that you have to do. And then you add on like trying to ship out shirts, sell your merch, stuff like that. Like, it gets pretty difficult, man. Like, I got affiliated with Red Pill Threads. And so I just send them my designs and they take care of everything. It's fucking awesome. And they already have like a name for this community. You know, you go, it's like one of the most anti-Semitic fucking t-shirt brands out there. I love it.
who started it?
You know, fuck, dude, don't. I'm so bad with names, bro. Like, they always escape me. I only got room for 20.
You're good, bro.
And they're going to be so mad at me too, but yeah, it's two of my buddies. Well, one of them originally started it and the other one is like, yo, dude, I definitely want to be a part of this. And so like, they're a big part of the MMA movement too, which I believe is how I was able to meet Pat Miletic.
And oh, dude, there's something with those guys in the UFC MMA movement and the conspiracy that it's something, you know. My co-host Adrian, he's a boxer and he's actually a trainer too, as well as a film producer and an author. He's very busy and a new father. I love you, Adrian, and I miss you, brother.
Well, it's like Sean Hibbler says, you know, like, I like to get all of these UFC fighters awakened because when we really need them, these are the guys that have the mentality that's gonna fucking actually do something.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's gonna get to that point, right?
Right, and they're waking up people by the masses too, because look at the platforms that they have. So, you know, and they talk with each other because they're spending how many hours a day training? I bet you anything, they're listening to not only music, but they're listening to fucking podcasts and shit. Especially if you're at one of Eddie Bravo's gyms, you know, you're probably fucking red pilled like a motherfucker.
You're probably like required to have at least like five conspiracy podcasts in your top five on Spotify, or Eddie won't let you. I got to get him on, man. See, Sam just got back to me. You know, he has tons of people hitting him up in his DMs. And so that's why he uses Mark, but he finally got back to me personally. So hopefully I'll be having Sam on. And I also talked to Isaac Weiss. Come on, you know, we watch Twin Peaks on Patreon. Guys, if you want to support my show, patreon.com/greatpillpodcast. The Elohim etymologies drop there a week early before they go to the public. Esoteric book reviews are, they get streamed live. As soon as the live stream's over, we take them down and put them only on Patreon. Exclusive watch parties. We did season 1 and 2 of Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, and then season 3, The Return. Complete analysis and all this stuff on. It was real fun to do. So I can't wait to have Isaac on to talk about that. Hopefully this month, or probably this month, probably in December, because we're actually almost in December. So that's wild.
That's awesome, brother. Yeah, I reached out to Isaac. He agreed to come on the show. I need to reconnect with him and make that happen. And Tripley invited me on Tinfoil Hat a few weeks back. And I didn't pressure him, like, keep pressuring him. I did talk to him a couple days ago, but I didn't bring it back up. But,
well, him and Austin have a Patreon show with Brad Blinkley. So I told Austin, I was like, get Sam, if you have to, just throw him my number and he can text me. I won't blow his phone up. I promise. But you know, he'll get back to me eventually. Like I said, I'm sure, he'll come on, and if he doesn't, then, you know, I'm not going to get mad at him.
He's just busy, man. That's the way I look at it. It's like he means what he says. He has every good intentions. You might have to just bug him again. Yeah. But the guy's got more going on in this community than anybody I know.
Yeah, Sam has a special place on Grape Hill, and he's a big fan of my wife too. So
nice.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to the Vegas show a couple of weeks ago, but as I was trying to book my fucking flight, they were requiring me to have a real ID, and I'm holding out on that as long as I possibly can. So I bought a ticket to go to Sam's show. I was going to get a shirt made that said Sam Tripley ate my girlfriend's ass.
Jesus Christ, Kyle. You still going to do it?
Well, no, because the show was last Friday. I had to not be able to go to the show. It sucks. I bought a ticket and it just went to waste. But, well, it didn't go to waste. It went into the pockets of Eddie Bravo and Sam Tripley, which is what I wanted to do in the first place. So, but, you know, it sucks I wasn't able to go. But I was going to wear that shirt and it was going to be hilarious. I know he was either going to get pissed or laugh his ass off.
Dude, the year before I started Graypilled, he was supposed to come to Jackson. This was when he was doing Conspiracy Social Club with Brian Callen. And I know he still does it with Dylan. It's the Deep Waters thing now. But, you know, he was talking about, he's just like, no one's buying tickets. And so I got a bunch of people to buy tickets. Nice. He calls the venue, and the black guy who answers the phone goes, "Nah, man, they booked you on the wrong part of town." And so Sam did the smart thing and canceled. I would have done the same. There's no reason to come to Jackson and to die, right? Because there's a 90% chance you will if you are in Jackson past sundown. So, yeah. I was very upset. And I was like, because I felt like I almost manifested. And I was like, how the fuck would he just decide to come to Jackson, Mississippi? I had been thinking about it, being like, you know, I had been commenting on certain, like, please come to Jackson. I talked to him, and I'll book it, okay, next time, and we'll fill it up and get it sold out whenever he decides he wants to come back down south. But he knows that now. He didn't know me at the time. I was trying to hit him up. I looked crazy hitting him up. I was like, dude, no, I can book you downtown. My dad used to book shows for like 20 years in Jackson, so I could have easily gotten him a good place to stand up where he wouldn't have gotten hurt or, you know, robbed at gunpoint afterwards. But
bro, we need to talk offline and start our own version of Bohemian Grove. But we're coming up here on 8 minutes left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to get in anything that you weren't able to. I know that we really didn't get in too much because you and I like to go down all these side paths and everything. But I mean, the nuts and bolts of everything, I think we pretty much touched on. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And you can always have me back on, man. We can always continue. I mean, what we talked about the Anunnaki is literally like nothing compared to the story, dude. Like, so if you ever want to talk further on it, feel free to just hit me up and bring me back on, anything else, dude. As you probably tell, I could talk about quite a lot and go on for quite a long time. It's sometimes to my detriment, but
and I'd love to get you on one of the round tables too,
dude. Hit me up on a Friday if I'm not doing an occult reject show, and someone doesn't book with me, dude. Yeah, hit me up, brother. I'd love to come on and hang out. I've been trying to do these round tables. I do a terrible job booking a lot of guests at once. It took me long enough to create a Calendly to get guests to book with me. So I'm like, yeah, I have enough shows right now. I'll hold off. But for people watching, don't let all this stuff scare you. This, like I said, this fear porn that's being pushed. Don't let it consume you. Know that you have power over these dark entities. You are given a divine spark, and you need to take that power and pull your sword from your stone and claim your victory. So
I love it, brother. And if for those of you watching, if you guys want to scroll down, right there is all of the links that you can go ahead and follow Jules and watch Gray Pilled Podcast on all of those links there. Jules, I got your Instagram, your X, your Rumble. If there's anything that I may have missed, go ahead and plug away, brother, and any upcoming things that you want people to know about.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, guys, on Twitter, at Gray Pill Pod, Instagram, Gray Pill underscore podcast, Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, just Gray Pill Podcast. Go over there, subscribe to the channel, leave me good reviews. I get a lot of shitty reviews on Spotify. People, like I said, people have a problem with a lot of things I say, or I'm interrupting people too much. So still working on that. But if you want to support the show, Patreon.com/GrayPillPodcast. It's a great way to do it, as well as everything I named with the Patreon exclusive content. You get a free sticker pack for joining, links to the Discord and group chats. You become a member of the inner roundtable, as we now call it. Later tonight, 7 o'clock Central, I'm going live with the boys from Veritas Road. So y'all tune in for that. I'll be streaming that on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And then after that, if I have time, we didn't get a chance to do esoteric book review yesterday because we had Tomcat from Strange Brew come on. Y'all go check out that episode if you haven't yet. Shout out my boy, the Raptilian. And then, yeah, man. Yeah, he's awesome. And then we had this morning. So trying to get the Patreon show in to you guys. But schedule shows, you know, they come first now, right? So we will get that show in there. Y'all don't worry. If Subliminal, let me know if you can't make it tonight. I think it'll just be me and Nick then, and we will be, probably doing the Adepts, in the Western esoteric traditions. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's every Saturday morning. Usually, guys, we do the esoteric book review. We stream it live to YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. And it goes private after, so y'all can catch that Saturday mornings. Also, I have a show with Headless Giant called Rustic Gods that I do. Just did one on Priapus Fascinus, the phallic god of the Grecian pantheon. That was a fun episode. Lots of dicks. Next, we're doing the ocean elementals, because, like I said, there's a whole, like, it branches off into all these different categories of like mountain elementals, all this stuff, dude. It's fascinating. So y'all look out for that show as well. And that Paranoid American podcast dropping this next week, guys. It's a banger. You can go to you can go to paranoidamerican.com/discount/graypilled and get 15% off of your purchase. Support my co-host of Sound Science, Thomas, by doing that. And you know, support my show as well, because I actually send Homunculus owner manuals and MK Ultra Illuminati books, all that stuff in the Gray Pilled sticker packs. You get some Paranoid American stuff in there with it. So sign up to the Patreon. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, guys. Go check out all that stuff that he had just mentioned. I got the links there for you down there if you want to scroll. And while you're at it, if you want to give this show a thumbs up, a star, whatever the fuck that it is that you're listening to or watching this on, please go ahead and do so right now to keep the show in the algorithms. Also, if you want to check out redpillthreads.com, they have the coolest fucking shirts to walk around and become a walking meme. Basically, it's like all of your coolest fucking shit that you think of on a daily basis and scroll past, put onto a shirt. And if you use promo code RABBIT, you will get, I believe, 10% off of your order. And yeah, guys, if you got anything out of this episode at all, I am ditching the Patreon for now. And so if you want to support the show, the best way is just cash at me $1. You know, a lot of these people ask for full-on subscriptions. You're paying however much for your Amazon, and it's all crap anyway, other than Sean Hibbler's film that's on Amazon right now. Go check that out. That is called Climate Trails, and that is on Amazon.com. Go wake up your normie friends and family. This is the perfect video to show them to, it's like, It's like the gateway drug into conspiracies because it's the easiest one to prove. And when they watch this, they won't have any question in the matter anymore. And you will instantly have red-pilled them within an hour. So it's fucking awesome. Go do that, guys. And we got a lot of good shows coming for you this December. So keep tuning in. And be sure to tune in for the roundtables because we are giving away, we're raffling off a shirt every single episode. And I believe some of my other show sponsors are going to start getting involved in that. So we're going to be giving away a lot of shit. It's going to be awesome. So with that being said, we're going to end this the way that we always do. And that is keep digging down those rabbit holes.
Shatter the matrix. Catalyst on the mic exposing fake and gay shit. Conspiracy junkies, we don't fuck with no sheep.
Awaken the lions, let the weak stay asleep. Follow the rabbit down the hole we go. Are we stuck in the matrix? Shit, I don't know. Secrets revealed, all lies exposed. Catalyst Jones will never be controlled.
Flat earth whispers cut the mainstream's haze. MK Ultra's grip minds locked in a maze. Hollywood veil, coded scripts in the frame. Peel back the
system's design, whispers in the dark where the secrets align. Rip through the code, I'm done with their plan. Unplug my soul, I'm a free fucking man.
Zionist circles fly, powers it in the vault. Truth buried deep, but I'm calling their fault. Call me anti-Semitic, go ahead, fuck it, that's fine. Got no feelings for your feelings, truth's my only line.
Follow the rabbit down the